This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Companion.
Funny enough, we were thinking what movie we shall review this week. At first, we were like, hey, let's do Love Hurts with K.U. Kwan. And it didn't go too well. But we were like, what if we talk about Companion? And we were like, okay, let's see how that movie goes. And it was so good. It was one of the best concepts I've seen for a movie. And I had so much fun with this movie, but not fun in the cinema because there was people chattering.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, we do it quite often. Classic double bill at the cinema. Love Hurts wasn't very good. I'm sorry to everybody who was in that film. It just didn't come together. And there was much less to talk about. It would have just been us kind of going, this didn't work for ages. But then we were going to watch Companion and we knew there was a chance that that would be the one. And actually, this film really came together in many ways. And I want to say before we get into it, this film is full of twists and this film constantly makes you rethink what you thought about it. And before we get into spoilers, we're going to try and tell you as little as possible because it's so worth seeing this film without knowing anything, including the marketing. They do give away some stuff. And I love that kind of thing. You go to a movie, you don't know anything about it, and you just kind of like, whoa, the end of the first act, you're like, sorry, excuse me. Like, I really, really appreciate those experiences. So yeah, this is wonderful. Happy Valentine's weekend, John.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Here we are talking about a very Valentine's rom-com adjacent, I would say.
Yeah.
Kind of like rom-com thriller. This film, simply put, is about two people in a relationship where it's not the healthiest thing on the planet. I really don't know how much more I can say without going into spoilers.
Well,
so I won't.
The movie was romantic. It was such a fun time. You know, like, you get to see this dynamic between the couple throughout the movie. Iris, that's played by Sophie Thatcher, and Josh, played by Jack Quaid. And it was such an amazing performance from them. You get to see the love, you know, the actual love for each other. At times, it can be rocky. At times, it can be some beautiful love story that everybody might want. Yeah, what about you? What other moments?
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a very fun film. There is a lot of tension in it, and there is a lot of thrillery kind of elements, but they keep it light, they keep it funny throughout. There's a really good ongoing bit with a dinosaur and Dracula. This is going to confuse so many people. If they haven't seen the movie, they're going to be like, wait, so it's a rom-com but with a dinosaur and Dracula is in it as well? Like, what?
just bear with us.
This
might be a weird roller coaster.
There's going to be a drop at some point for sure.
Yeah, and it'll be a loop-de-loop.
Truly, I loved the editing in this movie. There is a really good way this film delivers. Oh God, I can't even use the example because it's a spoiler, but there's a good way that this movie delivers tense moments. A less interesting film would have something happen. So something happens on a beach, the character returns, tells the rest of the characters what happens on the beach, and that's a very linear way of doing it. But the way they do it in this film is they show the setup to the beach scene, and then they show the character returning, and then as the character explains it, we see intercut the beach scene. That happens quite a few times in this film, and it's really interesting and a much more compelling way to present these tense scenes. Throughout, I thought the editing was really, really well done.
Yeah, the editing was superb in a way of like, we're seeing from Iris's viewpoint sometimes, like we get to understand her and like understand what's going on with the intense moments in the movie. And the movie does explore the idea of gender, with gender ideology, with men being dominant, but then women don't have a lot of say. And then other relationships as well. There was a gay couple of this movie, which is really wholesome, and they do get to explore other sides of relationships, like how they find each other. There's a great opening to this movie where Iris talks about how she met Josh for the first time in the supermarket. Very cheesy, something that you seen fresh.
Yes, it was very fresh. You know, they're in the grocery section.
Yeah,
you know, they have the fruit. That was very fresh.
Yeah, and that whole thing was really well done. It intrigues you, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I don't know where this movie is going to go. So. Yeah,
I think relationships can be toxic, they can be dangerous, they can be unhealthy, but the thing that This is a comparison I don't think I'd be making on a Saturday morning, but it's much like how George Lucas describes fascism. Now, the way that George Lucas describes it, and obviously, you know, he describes in the Star Wars prequel trilogy, he talks about how fascist dictators, they don't seize power. They are elected in. They speak to a thing that people want, and they will take their power gradually stripping people of their rights. But when it comes down to it, they were voted in. They are what people want. It's very much like an unhealthy relationship. You know, these relationships often start with this almost perfect meeting between two people, and they think that they've found something beautiful, something true. And then it turns. They don't willingly go into an unhealthy relationship a lot of the time. And I think that this film, from the opening moment, you very much contend with the idea of a perfect relationship and what that can turn into. The opening narration from Iris really takes that. And I think that, yeah, like, as you said, the cast are all so brilliant. It's not many of them. Like, really, there's just six main actors.
Yeah, it's very small, which is quite impressive for Jack Quaid and Sophie Thatcher being the big stars. I think the other actors in the movie are really well done to their performances. There's some great scenes in this with the other performers. And the idea of a relationship is really interesting in this movie as well. Like, are they going to continue it? Is it an actual love? And the concept of love is also explored. Like, what does love feel? Which is a really important thing to ask yourself.
As you say, it was really good to see different kinds of relationship. We have our little somewhat healthier relationship with the two gay guys. The way that we look at them is much different from the way that we look at Josh and Iris. And then also we have Kat and Sergey as well. Another really interesting relationship. And of course, I do want to mention that Sergey is played by Rupert Friend. And whenever Rupert Friend's there, I'm a happy man. The whole time I was like, is that Rupert Friend? And then at the end credits, I was like, it is! I love him. I just, great to see him. Right, I think we can't hold off any longer.
Okay, we have to rip off the band-aid.
Yeah, go watch the movie if you haven't already. It's a really great film. But here's the thing, for those of you who have stayed, Iris is a robot. Bosh.
He's a rope.
What? I did know that because of, I think, a trailer.
It wasn't in your face in certain things, but I did have a feeling of something like, oh, okay, this is interesting. There's a great reveal in the movie after Iris kills Sergey. Again, the editing is done.
Yeah, that's the aforementioned beach scene where you know, she comes back and she's covered in blood and we see her kill Sergey and the events that lead up to that.
Yes, and then there's that one moment where she's like going full panic mode, like Sergey assaulting her, and then Iris had to defend herself. But then as she's just telling Josh about it, Josh is like, go to sleep. And then she goes to sleep out of nowhere, like her eyes just go completely white, and it's like, what the? And then Josh tells Iris that she's a robot, and it's a really heartbreaking scene because you do get to see that she's human. And then also it just reminded me loads of other things with AI and robot lives as well. It's like they feel human, but it just feels so wrong. It reminds me of Severance in terms of different personalities. Are they real? Are the human? It feels wrong to have someone that feels human but they don't know they're a robot. And this is just a great scene with Iris as well. So that was like, whoa, what's gonna happen throughout the movie?
There are some really great hints at the start of the film, particularly the way that Kat is acting around Iris. You can tell that she doesn't really see Iris as a living being and is just kind of like, this is a robot who is essentially a sex doll for Josh, which is kind of what these robots are described as a couple times throughout. And there are some really clever lines about how Iris was made. And it's like, oh, I guess I was made that way. In a way that someone may say, I guess I was born that way. But just the very slight ways that the dialogue hints towards it very, very slightly. But also what I really enjoyed as well is that at first you think, oh, this robot's gone crazy. It's something in its programming. It's going to go evil. Or she's going to go evil, I guess.
Yeah.
Like a lot in this film kind of questions the reality and the life of the robot. Like, do we call Iris she or it? You know, like, what is...
Yeah.
What does it mean for it slash her to have a life? But we find out also that it's not her that's gone crazy and started murder. This was planned. Josh and Kat planned to have her kill Sergey so they could take his money, which was very interesting because you then start to think about how humans use robot as a tool. You see it earlier in the film. There is a sex scene where Josh just finishes and is just totally like disregards Iris and is like, okay, bedtime. And that's something that you see a lot. You know, it's this idea of men taking what they want in a relationship and not having any empathy for the woman's needs. But then at the same time, you have this idea about about a robot and AI being used simply for human needs. And for this, she is used as a tool in murder. She herself has numerous lines about what life means to her and the things that she feels, and they are using her to take lives. She doesn't really have any autonomy in that, although she thinks she does. That's very interesting stuff.
That's very interesting. It becomes very self-conscious in a way of like, oh, am I a robot? You know, with the intelligence, with the appearance, and the idea of desire. What Iris wants in this movie is to love Josh. That's all she wants. But then it becomes deeper. She discovers that she's a robot. She discovered there's autonomy behind a phone, literally a phone that controls Iris. And she discovers she can do so much more than this relationship. Like, she can have a say in this world or something, or become independent. Oh, it's just like she's trying to discover herself in a way. At the end, there's this great scene where she got burnt. So her skin melts off, but she takes off the burnt remains, and you get to see the fully humanoid hand that appears. And I thought that's interesting because she's trying to think about herself, like, can she live with herself all the things that humans wanted to do and only see her as just a mere tool? That was just really impactful to see. And what the movie does as well, the twists are just fantastic. There's another scene where the four are arguing, like, who gets the money. Josh argues that it only should be the three of us. And he's like, well, the three of us, what are you talking about? And then Eli and Patrick move aside. This is the queer couple. And Eli apologizes about how Josh is behaving. And then Eli tells to go to sleep that Patrick's a robot. He's a robot. And he's like, what? What concepts? Like, what is going on? And it just gets even crazier. Patrick also realizes that he's a robot. There's a fantastic scene where Patrick does tell Eli what love feels like. And it feels like he's on fire. It's painful. And I think that's a great way to explore androids as well. Like, robots, what do they feel?
Yeah, throughout there's a really good running theme of what these androids feel and the idea of love and fire. So obviously, Patrick describes his love for Eli as pain, as fire. That's already really fascinating because the film makes it very explicitly clear that their love is real and that Patrick, as a robot, can and does feel these feelings. And at the end, Josh has Iris handcuffed to a chair and says, let's test if you actually can feel. And he makes her put her hand over a candle. And as you said, her whole arm sets on fire. And you can see, I mean, Sophie Thatcher's performance is so amazing. This kind of life form that isn't programmed to show that pain, but is absolutely feeling that pain. I think that's really interesting. So throughout, that is this kind of theme, you know, love feels like fire. There's the literal fire that Iris gets, which is Josh's final, or one of the final methods of torture on her. But also at the end, when she takes that hand off to reveal the metal skeleton, it's kind of liberating. She's kind of becoming, she's almost seeing herself for the first time. And there's a little bit, as the credits roll, you see her driving away and you see her in a car waving at another Iris bot. The other Iris bot sees the metal hand and all. And in that moment, it's the most liberating because she can be a human and be a robot at the same time. And I thought that that was also, it's very much like the creator, which we talked about in 2023, this idea of what can robots feel, something you see in a lot of films. I think this film would make a fantastic Terminator film. Obviously, it works well as its own piece, but it's really cool to consider this. You know, it's a different spin than anything we've seen in that universe, where robots are almost always killing machines. In this one, we have the idea of them being programmed specifically not to harm humans. And also, my dad keeps on telling me to mention this. So, man, this is for you, Dad. Oh, apparently, okay. It's like Ex Machina, which I haven't seen.
I have to counter that. So,
I'm going to make sure my dad listens to this episode.
If Ex Machina is like Companion, I can totally see that in ways, but it's nothing like the film because Ex Machina goes in deeper philosophical ways about human lives, but also about are we being tested throughout. But I wouldn't compare this to Companion because Companion is exploring love, which Ex Machina does, but in a darker way. They're completely different tones.
Isn't Ex Machina also about the creator of the androids as well?
Yes. So it explores the creator. We've got a big-headed guy played by Oscar Isaac. He's a genius and he just makes robots, but it's not specifically for people. He just makes them for themselves. Whereas Companion is about the company that sells them as well. So there's numerous plot twists throughout the movie about do we trust people or do we see them as robots? So like, for example, Patrick, we did not know Patrick was a robot and that surprised us. It's like, oh, whereas Ex Machina is about a whole different thing. I do see the comparison. Good argument there, Tom's dad, I would say. But
take that, dad. No, I can, yeah, I think that makes sense. It's also interesting how this film explores, God, I keep on saying, so interesting. I need to get a thesaurus out. It's compelling that one of the other twists, I guess, you know, if you want to call it a twist, Josh is an incel, and that's something that, as the film goes along, we see the building of him becoming more and more controlling and more unhinged, to the point where he literally is like, you're just like every woman I've ever known, and it's incredibly telling of who he is. You're like, okay, I get it. I get what's going on here now. And that also was a really interesting angle to take. He's very much the whiny guy who believes the world owes him something and believes that he has had so much struggle in his life.
No women will date me.
yeah, right? And with what the film presents us, he doesn't really have anything to be upset about. He's got friends. I would argue, from my perspective, the film tells us that these robot lives are real. The things they feel are real, and if you have a robot boyfriend or girlfriend, that's a real relationship. These are real feelings and emotions, even if the memories may be augmented. So Josh, for all intents and purposes, does have a relationship. He has many things to be happy about, and yet his greed makes him lose all that. He loses all of his friends, who all die spectacularly throughout, and he can't control anything. He can't control his own emotions, you know, by the end. There are so many chances for him to just kill Iris, and he doesn't, because he wants to prove himself as better. He can't control himself in that regard. He can't control the robots. Even when he thinks he has Patrick completely under his control, he tells Patrick to stop Kat, and Patrick just stabs her. She's dead. That was Patrick's interpretation of stopping her. And so I think it's really great just throughout how this film continuously peels back the layers in a pretty tight 90 minutes as well.
Yeah. Oh, what a good runtime. A pretty good movie, I have to say. I mean, oh my God. So throughout the movie, I was trying my best to focus, but there was someone in the far corner talking so loud in the cinema. There was one guy who moved away from them. And it's like, oh, you shut up. I'm trying to watch a movie here. There's people acting. Can't you see? You paid money. That annoys me so much. I don't know how you put up with it, man. You're definitely annoyed throughout.
Normally, I go and tell these people to shut up. But it was one of those things where I just kind of sat and took it. And it was so, so annoying. I think, unfortunately, this film loses points because of the experience that we had. It was a great film. And when the film was loud enough that we couldn't hear those two both, Ozos in the back, you know, small screen, so like I bet everyone in the cinema could hear, but especially in the quiet moments, because I think the film had brilliant sound design, so there were little kind of small moments where silence is really well used, and you just kind of hear these two people in the background going, it's just like, oh God, it was so annoying. But I mean, like, other than that, there's not really much that I have to criticize this film. Maybe it goes on a little bit at the end.
Yeah,
the people from the company come and she shoots herself in the head and blah blah blah. Like, sure, I think they kind of stretch it out maybe a 10 minutes or so, a bit long. I feel like it kind of hit its peak when we had the whole scene with the arm set on fire. Yeah. Potentially after that, they could have found another way to get to the climax rather than the whole they think she's dead and then
it does feel like they're cheating their way to get to the other point. Which I don't mind. I mean, it's a good scene where Josh has this awful realization that everything from Iris's perspective has been recorded. And it's like,
that was good. That was good. So yeah, a companion. What are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm giving it an 8.
Yeah, me too. Solid 8. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're doing Captain America Brave New World. We've finally made it. I just hope it's good, man.
Yeah! optimism. I'm just trying to get my optimism up to somewhere for a movie that I haven't seen a lot of clips from. Just ready. You know, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to fight against those expectations what the movie has given me for. Yeah!
Woo! And you can send us an email, lasttimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Captain America Brave New World, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell. We're on Blue Sky now, so if you want to hear more thoughts from Tom and me, we're going to be on Blue Sky, which is going to be in the description below. We've got edited clips on TikTok, also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and you can find links there all in the description below as well. Thanks to Elgin Smith for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Take what we're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.